One time there was an elderly man that called his son. And he had been married for a while. He called his son and said, "I have bad news. Just want to let you know that your mother and I have been struggling of late. Things have been difficult financially, and there's been some other things. So, you know, we've just decided that it's best if we go ahead and get divorced. And I know it's probably a difficult thing for you to hear, but it's just the best that we've decided to do." And so he hung up with his son. The son called his sister and said, "This is horrible. Mom and Dad are getting a divorce, and I don't understand everything that's going wrong, but we have to do something to stop it. So, you know, just hope for the best." They hung up. The daughter called the dad and said, "Dad, don't do anything. My brother and I, we're going to come. We're going to be there as soon as we can. So, you know, don't rush into anything. You know, we can work this out, but we love you and we don't want you to get a divorce." They hung up. And as soon as they hung up, the dad turned to his wife and said, "Honey, the kids are coming for Thanksgiving." So, you know, sometimes it's whatever you can do to gather the family together. This year may be more difficult than others to get the family together, but it's a wonderful time. Thanksgiving often is one of those holidays that gets a little bit forgotten, a little bit swept under the rug. Out in the malls and the shopping centers, they decorate for Halloween and then immediately transition to Christmas. And I guess those are the big money makers for them. And so Thanksgiving is kind of wedged in between and it's forgotten. And as I mentioned earlier, when Thanksgiving is observed, it is often just like Christmas and Easter. With Christmas, it becomes all about Santa Claus instead of Jesus. With Easter, it becomes about the Easter Bunny instead of Jesus. And Thanksgiving becomes about turkeys and football instead of Jesus. We want to make sure that as Christians, we keep Jesus at the front and center of our lives at all times, that in all things, he might have the preeminence. And I want to start with Proverbs chapter 30 this evening. If you want to take your Bibles there, Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. We live in a nation that is filled to the top with bounty. Now, this year with the coronavirus, there are many people struggling. But if you were to compare a situation with other places like India, some of the poorer places in the world, even when we are struggling, we are doing better, much better than most of the world. We are the one percenters in the world. And if you were to take $1,000 and give it to two separate people, if you were to give $1,000 to a homeless man, or if you would give that same $1,000 to a millionaire, undoubtedly the homeless man would be much more thankful for that $1,000 than the millionaire. Sometimes the millionaire, it would be a waste of time in his mind to stop and get your $1,000 because he can make more doing something else. And we as a nation have been given so much that it's often hard for us to be grateful to God. It shouldn't be, but it is, because we're surrounded with all of our bounty. Proverbs 30 and verse 8, the writer says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Our American Christianity, we as Americans are often in that first category, that we are full and we deny the Lord and say, who is the Lord? I don't need God. I've got all my money. I've got my job, my house, my car. Everything's fine. I don't need to pray and trust in the Lord. And that is the danger of all of the bounty. The bounty should lead us to gratitude and thanksgiving, but often it leads people into self-satisfaction and not thinking that they need God. And then it gets to the place where we can have an entitlement mentality. And not only do we have so much that we're not thankful, but we have so much that we assume we should continue to get and get and get more. And we are not just unthankful, but we are miserable. We are bitter if we even have small moments where the bounty is held up. In our nation, we are thankful, if we are thankful, for silly and frivolous things. One time I remember seeing this on one of these teeny bopper websites. They asked, are you, during the Thanksgiving season, are you more thankful for Twilight or Harry Potter? Are you more thankful for Justin Bieber's singing or Justin Bieber's dance moves? Are you more thankful for Taylor Swift or Taylor Lautner? Are you more thankful for Lady Gaga's music or Lady Gaga's zany costumes? And are you more thankful for the Click book series or the Pretty Little Liars book series? And it's pretty silly in the United States what we often spend our time being quote-unquote thankful for. Our society has moved beyond Thanksgiving because if we are truly thankful for things, we have to be thankful to someone for giving us those things. And that's where God comes in. And our society doesn't want to recognize God, doesn't want to pause and focus on God, so they just move on from Thanksgiving. God says in the Bible that when a people are unthankful, it is a sign of bad things. I want to read a couple of verses, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, this know also, that in the last days, and by the way, we are in the last days. The last days are the period of time from when Jesus ascended up to heaven to when he comes back, this church age. We are in the last days. And it says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. What a list there. What a list filled with horrible things, and right in them, equal to them, is being unthankful. God says it's a perilous time that shows that you're in the last days when people are unthankful. It's one of the chief problems in our world that we are unthankful. Psalm 107 in verses 1 and 2, it says this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So it talks about this people that are redeemed. It says that we should give thanks to the Lord for his good, and we should say so. If we have been redeemed, we ought to thank God. We ought to be grateful in our lives. And one of the ways that we can show that we're thankful to God is by telling other people that we are thankful to God, by telling other people that we are who we are and we are where we are because of God, because of his goodness, because of his mercy in our lives. Let us say so. Later on in that same psalm in verse 8, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You can almost imagine the psalmist looking around and seeing that he is surrounded by unthankful people and moaning within himself. Oh, that men would praise the Lord, because they're not, because they're looking to themselves. They're lifting themselves up. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 2. King Hezekiah was a great king of Israel, probably one of the top five that the whole nation of Israel ever had. And here's what he led the nation in one day. 2 Chronicles 31 verse 2. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. It was important for Hezekiah that he take all of the spiritual leadership of the nation and set them to thank God for who he was and what they had done. And if that doesn't happen in a nation, in a society, in a world, here is where people can get. Romans chapter 1 paints a dark picture of humanity. It even uses the phrase of darkness in their minds. So let's read. I want to read Romans 1 verses 22 through 28 and see how low humanity can get here. It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So you have primitive idolatry, blasphemy. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What an ugly picture of humanity, of society here, where you have idolatry, rejection of God, and worshiping the creature more than the Creator, worshiping the things that man has sculpted himself. And you have things like homosexuality, and you have a situation where God has just totally given them up and given them over to a reprobate mind to dishonor themselves, to make havoc of their lives. And how did it all get to that point? We read verses 22 through 28. Look at verse 21 where it started. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. These people, when it says that they knew God, it doesn't mean they knew him in salvation, but when they knew that there was a God, when they looked up and saw the creation and knew in their hearts that there was a creator, there was someone who put it all there, they didn't want to glorify him as God. They didn't want to thank him for being God and for doing all that he does. And because they were unthankful, their hearts were darkened and they eventually went over the cliff. They became homosexuals because it started with unthankfulness to God. They became idolaters and idol worshipers because they didn't recognize God and thank him for who he was. We are remiss more than we know if we don't thank God day by day for everything that he does in our lives. Creationism is often pointed to as simply a teaching of certain ideas or facts. We'll call them facts and truths. Some people call them theories. But often people think of creationism as just the static teaching of ideas that there was a God that made everything. But creationism is much more than just that teaching. Creationism opens us up to the truth of God so that we can have a relationship with him, so that we can know him, so that we can thank him. And so the old evolution creationism debate and argument that goes back and forth is vital for all of life. Because if you reject God there, you'll open yourself up to so many other things. I want to look at three thoughts this evening very quickly about the goodness of God and thanksgiving, thanking God. And the first thought I want to look at is that we need to thank God for the good. And we don't have to spend a lot of time defining what that is. There's so many things in life that we enjoy and we love and we would call them good. You go to the mailbox and you open the mail and there's a check for $1,000. We would all say, and nobody would see a check for $1,000 and say, oh, come on, another check for $1,000? I'm getting bored of this. What am I going to do? No, we would all agree that's a good thing. If somebody brings a baby into the world, a husband and a wife, and they get married and they bring that very first baby into the world, they're overjoyed. That's a good thing. It's a very positive thing. And they can thank God for those things. It's not hard to thank God for the good. But as we saw at the very beginning, some people don't thank God for the good. Some people thank themselves for the good. that if they have $1,000, they thank themselves for getting the education necessary and working hard and going home, you know, bringing home the bacon in their lives. They don't see God. And so we need to be careful that we don't go the wrong direction. But when the good things happen in our lives, we need to not only acknowledge that they came from God, but pause. Push pause in your life. Take time out to recognize God and thank Him. You see so many times in the nation of Israel's history where sometimes it was spontaneous and sometimes it was instructed and commanded by God that they stop, that they build an altar, that they go to great expense sometimes, that they spend a lot of time to stop and thank God. Many of the feasts of Israel that were yearly feasts that God instructed them, they were to thank God for His goodness, for His provision, for the harvest, and all of these things. There are so many things that the list is endless of things about God, His attributes, His acts toward us, so many things. Whenever you recognize one of God's attributes, you should thank Him for it. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Whenever you know that God is holy, you should stop and thank God for His holiness. Because it's because of His holiness that He does things toward us that He does. He hates sin. He guards, He protects us from sin because He is holy. Whenever you know that God is righteous, you should stop and thank Him. Whenever you know that God is forgiving, you should thank God for His forgiveness, because without that mercy, without that forgiveness, we'd all drop into hell. Every single one of God's attributes is for you in some way. Now, even if you walk away from God, His attributes are for you as they try to bring you back. So the Bible says that we should thank God for His holiness and so many other things. Whenever you think of a truth of God, you should not only acknowledge the truth that it is there, but thank God for it, because it is for you. It is a positive benefit to you in your life. Thank God for His mercy. Whenever you see God's wisdom in nature, there's so many creatures that if you watch them, they're just amazing things about them. Maybe their defense mechanism, maybe the way that God has programmed them to hunt or to survive, to hibernate for the winter. And you see all the wonderful design and wisdom of God. You ought to thank Him for that wisdom, because if God will take care of that animal, you know that He has the wisdom to take care of everything in your life, and He loves you. Jesus didn't die for the animals, but He died for you and me, and He wants to employ His wisdom to help you in every area. All of the attributes of God, thank Him for it. Whenever anything good happens to you, thank God for the good, because we don't deserve it, and at any moment it could be taken away. Number two, not only should we thank God for the good, but we should thank God for the difficult. You thought I was going to say bad. I almost said bad. But really, there's nothing that God does that is bad. It's not bad for us. Everything is for our good. The Bible says that God performeth all things for me, for my benefit. Even chastening and judgment, He does it because He loves us. But I will say that there are some days that are harder than others. One day you open a check in the mail for $1,000. The next day, there's something very different that can come into your life. It could be a financial difficulty. It could be a disease. It could be a medical situation. It could be a relationship disaster. And we have many days that are difficult. And one thing that we struggle to do as Christians is to thank God for those hardships, for those trials and difficulties. They are ordained by God, and we must endure them. We must experience them, but we should experience them with joy and gratitude and not with bitterness. We need to learn how to thank God for absolutely everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, a wonderful verse, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Whether you open a $1,000 check or whether you open a $1,000 bill that you have to pay, give thanks in everything. That's God's will for you. Ephesians 5 verses 18 through 20 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So here's what happens if you're filled with the Spirit. speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. If you're spirit-filled, you will have a song in your heart and on your lips. And verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If the Holy Spirit is guiding and controlling you, if you're filled with the Spirit, you will live a life of gratitude. And it says that we'll give thanks for all things, not just the good. We will also give thanks for the bad. And we don't just find something to give thanks to God despite the bad. We give thanks for the bad. That every trial, God has sent for a specific purpose. I can point to certain things in my life that maybe I didn't notice it at the time, but as I look back in hindsight, I see a lesson that God was trying to teach me. I see growth. I see that He made me into someone else. He changed. He grew me up. And it was necessary to go through that valley in order to come out different on the other side. Job said, though He try me, or when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But gold can't come out as strong as it is, as pure as it is, unless it goes through the fire, unless the impurities are scraped off, the dross is removed. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What a decision to make. Why don't we make that decision today? That before tomorrow's problem comes, and I hope you don't have a big one, but it could be a big one tomorrow. Why don't we decide today that I will bless the Lord at all times, no matter what comes, good or bad or ugly, I am going to bless and praise and thank God for it. And then number three is a result of the first two. So number one, if we will thank God for the good, number two, if we'll thank God for the difficult, then number three, then God will do great things. There are many times that we as Christians don't experience what God wants us to experience. We don't enjoy things that God wants us to enjoy because we are not thankful. God many times is waiting for thanksgiving, waiting for thankfulness before He opens the blessings to fall on us. There's a wonderful story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 about King Jehoshaphat. And I want to read verses 20 through 23. They were facing a very difficult battle with the Assyrians. I'm sorry, with the Ammonites and the Moabites on this day. And they decided to thank God, and look what happened. It's a wonderful story. 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed, you would expect the next word to be soldiers or, you know, men of war. But it says he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. What a strange strategy for a military battle. Let's see, how are we going to fight them? We got so many here, so many there. They're strong, they're armed. I've got an idea. Let's just praise God. Let's just have singers sing praises and thanksgiving to God. And when they did that, it got God's attention. And he did things for Israel that they could not do on their own. They were outnumbered. They were going to be confounded. But when they looked up to God and thanked him. And by the way, so many times people at that moment can't find anything to thank God about. You know, God, I thank you that I'm surrounded by a huge army that's about to kill me. And I, God, I thank you that I'm about to die, and one day I'll be in heaven with you. So many times people can't find anything to be thankful for. But they praised God for the beauty of holiness. How can you think about God's holiness at a time like this? Well, we need to. And if we will learn how to praise God in the good and thank him in the bad, then God will do great things in our lives that we otherwise won't be able to see. Remember the story, we'll finish with this, in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas, they were in Philippi, they were preaching, they were arrested because they had cast out a demon from a girl that was a soothsayer, and she was bringing money, she was bringing a profit to people by her soothsaying. When the demon was cast out, the soothsaying ended and the money shut off. And the people of Philippi were so angry that Paul and Silas had shut off their money supply that they had them beaten and thrown into prison. And what would you do in a moment like that? God, we delivered this girl. We did it through your power, but she was delivered, and this is the thanks we get. We get thrown into prison. What do they do but thank God? Acts 16:25, it says, "And at midnight, when they're in the inner prison with their feet fast in the stocks, they can barely move. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." They faced a dark time, and they decided, we're just going to praise and thank God, and we're just going to see what happens. And by the way, I don't think they were expecting a miracle. They thought that they were going to be in prison for a while. They thought maybe we'll be let go someday, but we're going to be in here for a while and they're going to try to embarrass us. But we're just going to thank God that we're able to minister to these people. And we're going to thank God that we're in the prison. We have access to prisoners. We would not have otherwise had access to these people, except that we were in prison. So God, thank you for imprisoning us so that we can preach the gospel to the prisoners. And they sang praises to God and the prisoners heard them. And when that happened, God sent a great earthquake and opened the doors and their chains fell off. And God provided a great miracle, a great work, because they thanked God in the darkness. They thanked God in a dark trial. And you right now may or may not be facing a dark trial in your life. It's often said that if you're not in one, then you're about to go into one. That's just life. You've either just come out of one, or you're still in one, or you're about to be in one. That's just the Christian life. It is filled with trials. And sometimes the key reason God gives you the trial is a test to see, will you praise me? Will you thank me in the trial? Or will you be bitter? Will you use this trial as an opportunity to shine brightly to a dark world? They don't see it as much when you thank God because you got a $1,000 check in the mail. But when you thank God in a dark trial, that gets the world's attention. And they say, huh. Either they say, these Christians are lunatics, or they say, there must be something to this Christianity because it's so good. They can even praise God when things are going bad in their lives. Are you willing this Thanksgiving season to look at everything in your life, to lay it all out there and say, I thank God for all of it? As we mentioned the verse earlier, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. That's why we can thank God for everything, because everything is going to work out for our good and for his glory. So don't rob God of his glory by having a pity party. Don't steal what belongs to God with the world looking up to him and believing in him because you are too wrapped up in your problems. Thank God for everything. I hope that you love this time of year, Thanksgiving, when the entire world can look to us and say, what's Thanksgiving about? And we point up and say, it's not about Justin Bieber's dance moves or his singing. It's about our God. It's about the eternal wisdom of God. And he laid down his life for us so we could have salvation. That's what we're thankful for. We're not just thankful for food and clothes, and we are thankful for them. We're not just thankful for those things that are here today and gone tomorrow. We're most thankful for that eternal gift of salvation. And if you're watching today and you've never believed in Jesus, you've never received that gift of eternal life, even today can be the day of salvation. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. All we have to do is believe that we've done wrong. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody perfect. There's none righteous. No, not one. And there is a consequence for that sin. And a lot of people don't like to think about this. They don't like to go there. But because of our sin, we deserve hell. The Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we need to not only believe that we're sinful and believe that our sin sends us to hell, but finally we need to believe that Jesus has made a way for us to be forgiven of that sin. He came to earth, he became a man, he died on the cross after living a perfect life, the only person to ever live a sinless life. And then he laid down his life as a sacrifice so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we don't have to go to hell. Our sin must be paid for. And either we pay for it by going to hell, or Jesus can pay for it. And here's what it says. The way we believe all that, the way to receive it is to call on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Has there ever been a time in your life, this only happens once, it doesn't happen progressively over years, in one moment, you call on the name of the Lord, you confess that you are a sinner to Jesus, and you say, Jesus, forgive me and save me, and he gives you at that moment eternal life, and you are passed from death unto life. Has there been a time in your life that you've done that? One time is all it takes. It doesn't say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord and then keep on being faithful and live a good life and be baptized and go to church and give. It just says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. And right now is a wonderful time for you to call on the name of the Lord. Let's pray together.